Acts chapter 7, verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. And there they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were healed, were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which for before time in that same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcerers. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard the Samaritans had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. We're going to stop there with that 14th verse. We'll begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy your precious word. Guide and lead us through it. Father, it's not words that I can speak would bring anyone to salvation. It is your precious word. And so when we proclaim your word, the heart is convicted, and then there's a decision to make. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I need to trust in Jesus as my Savior. The Word of God tells us that today is the day of salvation. So please, dear Lord, please don't let anyone leave here today not knowing you as their Savior. It's a great and wonderful, beautiful day you've blessed us with, but it will be the greatest day if one here comes to know you as their Savior and doesn't leave lost. Father, guide and lead us, grow us in your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have had great, great messages through Peter as he proclaimed the word of God at Pentecost. We have had a wonderful message that Stephen has proclaimed to the Sanhedrin, as he opened up the Word of God and shared with them the truths of the Old Testament from Abraham through Moses, and it was a wonderful opportunity for the folks to hear the Word of God. Something that we made a comment about this morning in Sunday school, and that is that as this call went out, as Stephen proclaimed the Word of God and called them to repentance, we find that none in that audience repented at that time. But we also are aware of a member of that Sanhedrin that listened to every word that Stephen had to say, and that was a man named Saul. Now remember that he was there hearing the Word of God. And so as each of us have the opportunity of salvation, it usually does not come the first time you hear it. Usually the seed is sown, and then someone will come and water, and then we know that God is the one that gives the increase. And so Stephen heard the Word of God probably, as we said, when Peter preached. Saul heard the Word of God when Stephen preached. So we have Peter and we have Stephen, and now he has the witness of Stephen as Stephen is put to death by his own group as he holds the coat. And so, and we're going, we have introduced ourselves now as we read down into the fifth verse, another man, and he is one of the deacons, and his name is Philip. And so we're going to hear from him and see what happens when the Word of God is proclaimed through Philip. So we have had Peter and Stephen, and now we'll come to Philip. But before we get to Philip, we have some things that we need to look at. And we're going to begin up there with this verse 59 in chapter 7. And they stoned Stephen. They stoned Stephen. We find that, in he calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then as he kneeled down and cried, as he was being stoned to death, as the stones were being laid against his body, as he was being beaten by these stones, he cries, he calls upon God first and says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit in verse 59. In verse 60, he kneels down and cries with a loud voice and says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Jesus spoke here and says, But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Is that exactly what Stephen did? Yes. It's exactly what Stephen was able to do when he was being stoned to death by the enemies of the cross. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, because it says, And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. How could Stephen look heavenward, see the Lord Jesus standing? It's because Stephen knew the promises of the Word of God. As we look here at verse 6, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And I believe Stephen knew that. He was excited. He had proclaimed the Word of God, and it was time for him to go home to be in the presence of the Lord. And so in having that now, and then in going to chapter 8, understand that man has placed the chapters and verses. Some things aren't quite the way they should be. Man has done this because look at the first verse of chapter 8. Shouldn't that be in chapter 7? Yes, it should, because and Saul was consenting unto his death. That just as well be back in chapter 7 and then start here in the next. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church. Now, as we read of this persecution of the church, persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, it says here. The stoning of Stephen, the persecution of the church in Jerusalem, led to the scattering of the believers that were in Jerusalem. And we know that they were called, the believers were called to go out. So were the disciples, the apostles. And so let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Look at the call that they had received, the command that they had received. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And so this stoning of Stephen, the stoning of Stephen was a result of that. Now, we know that because if we would go down to Acts chapter, over to chapter 11, verse 19, Acts chapter 11, verse 19, Acts chapter 11, verse 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." And so you see this persecution that took place at that time means immediately following. So immediately following the death of Stephen, there was such a fear went through all the believers. And think about that. They were very few in number. We know that we read with Peter how that 3,000 was saved, and then there was added to the church. But remember, as far as at Jerusalem, that was at Pentecost. And many of these folks went home. They weren't all residents of Jerusalem by any means. And so all of a sudden now we have this great persecution led by this man named Saul to go out after the church. And not only to go after the church, but also the name of Jesus Christ. I think the desire of the Sanhedrin and the desire of Saul was that that name never be spoken again. They have made the statement, you know, okay, I'm going to let you go if you don't speak that name again. Well, that was the desire that they, why? You know, we talk about it today. When you're talking to somebody, you can talk to a lot of people that's lost. And God has done this in my life. And I pray to God. And God has done this. And God has done that. And you can have a civil conversation with the person. And then all of a sudden you says, you know, Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I love the Lord Jesus. You watch the conversation go south. You watch it go the other direction almost immediately when you lift up the name of Jesus. They didn't care that they spoke of Jehovah. They didn't care that they talked about God and that was in all their speech, and they were fulfilling the law and the traditions of the Jews, Saul and all of his group. They were following that, but they hated the name of Jesus. The world still does. The world still hates that name. The very name that can bring them to salvation, the very name that can bring them peace and joy and contentment, that name the world hates. And it hated it during this time. And so we find that it was this man named Saul was consenting unto his death. And it as we look at this, we understand that Saul was very pleased with the death of Stephen. He thought, we've got one of those deacons. We've got one of them. And we're not going to have to listen to him again. And again, at that time means immediately following the stoning of Stephen. This great persecution led to the scattering. And the stoning of Stephen, as we've read in the 11th chapter of Acts, confirms that was the response of that. And you think, we have lost a great preacher. You know, God, why would you take him? Why would you take this Stephen, this deacon, as he preached the Word of God and taught the Word of God so clearly and so to the point? Why would you allow him to be stoned to death? Why would you be allowed him to die at this time so early in the church? God's got a plan. And we can't see the end result. We can look at the past and kind of figure some things out sometimes, but we cannot see the future. And God has a plan. He has a plan for getting his gospel out. And by Stephen being stoned to death and going right into the wonderful presence of the Lord Jesus, going home, what a wonderful opportunity it was for Stephen. And the gospel was then spread throughout the region. And as it tells us here, scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. And then it says, except the apostles. So the anger that was turned against the believers after the stoning of Stephen would be much like we have these flash mobs today. It's unbelievable how we can hear about them on the radio and see them on the television, how that they have these big riots everywhere. And most of the time when you ask one of the rioters, what are you rioting about, they don't have the slightest idea. It's a mob mentality. They just that once they get started, there just is no stopping them, and they have no idea what they're fighting for or what they're complaining about or standing against. And I'm sure it was the same way here. Once they got that mob moving, once they got them started, that there were folks in there that was part of that, and it wasn't safe for a believer in the city of Jerusalem anywhere. Now, what happens, you know, the testimony, the preaching of the gospel, those that were following Jesus, they were resolved to leave, to move. This persecution, again, scattered into all parts of the world, preaching the gospel. And it says, except the apostles. Now, the apostles, did they experience the power of the Lord Jesus as far as the training is concerned? And they felt that it this is our place. We need to stay here at least for the time. Everybody else scattered, but it makes a point there of saying the apostles stayed. And they enjoyed. They remembered the words of the Lord. Yes, they had just lost a brother in Stephen, and yet they still were willing to stay. The apostles were willing to stay in Jerusalem for a period of time. We need to remember that nothing can happen. Not one single believer can be touched without the permission of God. And did the apostles remember those words? Were they strong enough that they says, we're not leaving. We're not leaving. We're continuing to support the work that's here. We don't know for sure, but we do know that without question, nothing can happen to us as a believer, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, without God allowing that. And so please that you trust in that. So they decided to stay there. Now we come down to verse 2, and it says, devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over them. Many believe that these weren't believers at all. The believers had scattered. These were just devout men that maybe they disagreed with the stoning of Stephen, possibly. And to lament over the body was something that they did. This was a tradition. And Stephen was a Jew. And so they took him out and they buried him properly, and they lamented this period of time. And it doesn't mean that they were necessarily believers that stayed back. It doesn't speak of being the apostles that did it. It just says devout men. Well, we have a lot of folks that are devout, but they are devout about lies. They do not stand for the Word of God or the truth. There was not a member of the Sanhedrin that wouldn't hold that title, that they were a devout man, but they were devoutly wrong in what they believed and what they carried out. And so we find here, and it says that they carried. And so here we have devout men carried Stephen. Now, that word's a little bit different than we think of. We think of them just carrying him to the grave, but it actually means to uncover, to collect, because he was buried in stones. And can you imagine someone being stoned to death? What did Stephen look like? What he appeared as? And we know, as we spoke again in Sunday school, that this man named Saul, he held the coats of those that were doing the stoning. You know, you're a little restricted when you got a coat on. You know, if I'm gonna throw a stone or throw a baseball or throw something, I better get this jacket off, because I'm not going to have the freedom to throw it as hard as I can. And so here, Saul, you hold my coat, because we're going to kill this man. And they stoned him to death. And so can you imagine Stephen laying under a pile of rock, under a pile of stone? And they just kept stoning him until he was dead. The first stone didn't kill him. The second stone didn't kill him. Who knows how many stones were thrown before Stephen took his last breath. And as it says here, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he also says, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And then he went to sleep. How many stones had covered him at that point in time? How was he brutally beaten by these stones? And so these devout men came and literally uncovered him. They had to take the stones away and then lift Stephen up from that and take him to the grave. And so that was taken care of. And again, the great lamenting over him, it may have been just a funeral process, just something that they did. We would like to think that these were believers, that their heart was broken. But remember what happened to all the believers when Stephen was stoned. They left. They left the area, and so we're not sure whether there is how many, if any, are remaining. And so we find now we come down to this man name that we have spoken of in the verse 58, whose name was Saul. We come to that same name now in verse 3, "For as Saul," and in verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death. "And so as for Saul, he made havoc with the church, entering into every house, and haling men and women, committed them to prison." We know this man, Saul, gets saved, and his name is changed to Paul. And we know the excitement that Paul and the drive that Paul has of taking out the gospel. He was beaten and left outside the city as dead, and I believe he was dead. God raised him back up again. And Paul didn't say, "Enough is enough, I'm going home." Paul got back up and went right back to preaching. So you see, he had that same excitement and that same enthusiasm that he had when he was a Jew preaching the Jewish beliefs, the lies, the traditions, the preaching and teaching against the Lord Jesus Christ. He had that same enthusiasm. And he went out there, as it said, As for Paul, he made havoc. Havoc, the scripture says. That means destruction, devastation. The Greek writers says that it has to do with the slaughter that's committed by some wild beast like a lion or a wolf. That is the vengeance that Saul went after anyone that professed and proclaimed the name of Jesus. And that word havoc, it doesn't, in our language, it doesn't, we don't think of it, but it says destruction, devastation, and it brings the thought of the slaughter of a wild beast against an animal. And that's the direction and the way that Saul went after the church, every believer. And where did he go? He entered into every house. Under the leadership of Saul of Tarsus, every house was searched for a suspect, if there was any question that there was a professing Christian there. And what did they do if one named the name of Jesus? They were taken out and placed in prison. And so promptly removed. And that word hailing there in this same verse, as for Saul had made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. That word hailing there tells us of a promptly dragging them out. Not just kind of saying, please come to jail now. They didn't read them their Miranda rights. They took them and they threw them in prison. And I'm sure the prison was different than the prison that we have today. And so as we come and we find what is going on, and you know, we look at what's going on against the Lord Jesus Christ and against His church today, we find out of studying the Word of God that nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. There's still a great hatred for the name of Jesus Christ. Why do you think that there are so many churches that have stopped lifting up the name of Jesus as your Messiah? They stop telling you that you're lost and you're dying and you need to have a Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ. That word is not preached in most churches today. Why? It's because they followed the way of Satan and not the way of the Lord Jesus. Again, entering every house. As for Saul, at the very beginning of that third verse, Paul many times gives his testimony of who he was. And so sometimes, as in with the case of Moses, we came to the second chapter and verse 11 of Acts to see more about what Moses was like in Egypt than we found back in Exodus. And so now we're going to go forward and look at a testimony of Paul concerning what he was. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, and we're going to begin with the ninth verse. Acts 26, verse 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue. I compelled them to blasphemy, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Acts 26, 9 through 11. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. Galatians 1, 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. And so a wonderful testimony of who he was and what he is now, because he is born again. There were, again, I believe, few believers actually in Jerusalem. Nothing that was able to stand. You see, there was no... Today, if we are persecuted and we feel like that we've been faulted in some way, why, we have a judicial system that should work. Today, we find it that it is against the Christian, and don't expect much support by the courts nor the Supreme Court today. It should not be that way, but we know that it is. Christians at this time had the same. They had no support. They had no one they could go to. They couldn't go to a Roman official and say, hey, they're persecuting me. They said, so what? We don't care. And so they had no one. They didn't have the sheriff. They didn't have a governor. They didn't have anyone that they could really go to. And being unarmed, there was no way that they could stand, being few in number. And of course, God knew what he was doing. He scattered them. He scattered them around the world. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. Now, if we just stop right there, you know, they just scattered. You know, they feared for their life, and so they scattered. But I'm going to close with this, because what they do? They were scattered abroad. They were scattered everywhere, preaching the word. And these weren't preachers. These were just people that got saved. And they had the good news of salvation. Yes, they'd been run away from their home, away from their family, away from their work, away from everything that they had. But they didn't care, because they were so excited in their heart because they knew Jesus. And so they went out and they went everywhere preaching the word of God. Wonderful to go out and tell the word of God. And we need to follow that example. Why is it that we need to be persecuted before we're willing to take out the word of God? But they found their mission field wherever it was at. We have our mission field. I look down my prayer list, and it's a sad, sad statement, because I got more lost people on that prayer list than I do saved people. Folks that I know, folks that I'm around, folks that I work with, that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I pray for them every day and pray for their families. Because you see, it's my mission field. Every one of us got our mission field. We come, we hear the word of God. We teach the word of God. We have it on Sunday morning, Sunday school, and Sunday morning during the message. And the hymns have a wonderful message. We come back on Sunday night. And ladies, you have the opportunity of Tuesday afternoon to come and listen and grow. And then we come back on Wednesday night and hear the word of God. And what a joy it is. And then we need to pray for these folks. You know, pray for our neighbors. Pray for the folks that were around. And Lord, please open the door that I can share the gospel with them. And don't close my mouth. These here, on the run, lost everything. But what were they doing? I'm going to go find me a house. Better buy me a car. I got to have a job. I don't have any food. What's the word say? The word tells us, therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the word. And we're going to close with that. Father, thank you today. This word, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It's what it's all about. We need to set this foundation, and then upon setting that foundation, now we need to build upon that foundation. But we must set the foundation first, and it comes by faith, trusting in Jesus as our Savior, as our Messiah. So please, dear Lord, let no one leave today without knowing you as their Savior, that they have come by faith to Jesus. And then please, Lord, let's take this word, take it out. Tell people about the Lord Jesus, that they'll have an opportunity to be saved. Let's spread the word. We can't save anyone. Our responsibility is to give the word out and let the Spirit of God work. So let us be good messengers, preaching the word, it says. It didn't say saving the people. It said preaching the word. Preaching the word. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Just touch every heart now, and I pray this in Jesus' name.